Watson under his spell. I could not bear for him to tell Alex the sort of person I was, the sort of person that people walked away from. I couldn't allow the past to infect my happy home. I caught sight of my laptop, and my thoughts raced as I recalled what I had been researching just moments before. Sex with Luke would last just minutes, and there was no love involved. I had pinpointed my fertility cycle and knew I was ovulating today. I turned over the idea creeping into my head. Perhaps something good could be salvaged out of all this mess. It was not like I was being unfaithful. I loved my husband. A baby would make our marriage complete, and with Luke out of my life for good, there would be nothing to threaten our happiness. "You want me. You always have," Luke said, nuzzling my neck as he began undoing the buttons of my blouse. "It was your jealousy that inflamed you, not concern for those other girls. We'll keep it our little secret. Nobody else needs to know." I caught another whiff of his aftershave, the same scent he used all those years ago. It felt like I was back there, a teenager once more. I could not bear to become the subject of gossip all over again, for my words to be disbelieved. My legs were trembling as I tried to work out what to do. He pulled up my skirt, then asked me if it was what I wanted, just like before. I nodded. He smiled, because deep down he thought it wasn't true. But all I could think of was getting pregnant. I would not have given in for anything less.
Chapter 73. Luke. 2013. I thought I'd feel recompensed after my encounter with Emma, but the whole episode had been one big anticlimax. True, she had balked when she'd seen me in her doorway, and bringing the sunflowers had been a nice touch. But as she fixed her clothes, I had caught a look of triumph, as if she actually had wanted me to screw her after all. It had left a bitter taste in my mouth, and as I sat in my car outside her front door, my anger resurfaced. She was in there, thinking she had gotten one up on me. Perhaps she had, pretending to act frightened all along. Sex was not enough of a payback for everything she had put me through. Hell, maybe I had done the bitch a favor. Perhaps she wasn't getting it from her husband anymore. My fingers tightened on the steering wheel. I had always suspected that she was the one who had tipped off Sophie Smith's parents, and her failure to deny it answered the question that had been bugging me for some time. The anonymous letter Sophie's parents received had pinpointed our meeting in the beach hut that night. I'm only grateful that we were both fully clothed when they caught us. A large payoff from my mother had at least stopped them calling the police. I became much better at covering my tracks after that. But my promise to Emma had not gone unforgotten, and I spent many happy hours thinking about inflicting my revenge. I knew I should drive away, draw a line beneath it all. But my reputation had been smeared. Mud sticks. Emma's meddling had put an end to my career before it even began. If only she had died during the fire in her home that day. I remembered receiving her text, how hopeful I had been that she would carry it through. Then the searing disappointment when she was pulled out alive. But if at first you don't succeed, I surprised myself with the thought. Could I commit murder? As I sat there, I imagined how it would feel to finally watch the bitch burn. And why not bring her home down with her? The life she'd managed to build for herself that eluded me. She was unstable once. I could slowly break her down. Then, when she was alone, I would recreate her suicide attempt. But get it right this time. I smiled as my plan unfurled itself in my mind. Tomorrow, I would return to taunt her tomorrow. Tease her about my future conquests, really stick the knife in. Her infidelity would ensure her silence, at least until I carried out my plan. Chapter 74. Alex. 2017. My eyes flitted from the road to the caller display on my dashboard as I tried for the third time to contact Emma. At least the hands-free system allowed me to drive, saving precious time. It would take at least another couple of hours to reach Essex. I groaned aloud. By the time I got there, the tide would be in, cutting Emma off from the outside world. It was not as if I could call the police. What could I tell them? Given Emma's state of mind, she could end up blurting out everything. Why wasn't she answering her phone? If I had any sense, I'd go back to Jamie and leave Emma behind. But I was like a moth drawn to the flame. No matter what she did to me, I would always return to her. Using voice commands, I patched through another call. The phone answered after 5 rings.
Hello?
I sensed the hesitancy in Teresa's voice, but tried to mask my concern. Hi, it's me. Is Emma with you? I've been trying to ring, but her phone switched off.
She's asleep. I turned off her phone so she could have some rest, bless her. She was in quite a state after you left, but she's okay now.
Can you tell her I'm on my way? I shouldn't have left. I should be with you around 1 in the morning.
Is Jamie with you?
Teresa said. No, he's back in Leeds. I'm just coming to pick up Emma and bring her back. I took a deep breath, my throat raw from my oncoming cold. There's something I've got to ask you.
Me? What's that?
Checking my rearview mirror, I indicated and overtook the car in front of me. I hired a private detective to track Luke down. Apparently he's alive and friends with you on Facebook. Why did you lie to me, Teresa? My words broke off in a cough.
What? I'm not friends with Luke, am I?
Silence fell between us as she searched for answers.
I use Facebook for work. I accept requests from lots of people. I don't know them all.
The irony of her words hit home. How could people qualify as friends if you didn't know them? It was the very reason I hated the whole social media thing. You didn't know who you were talking to. Anyone could bung up a fake profile picture and snoop on your movements. But there was another question playing on my mind. If Luke is alive, then whose body did we unearth? Teresa hesitated.
I don't think we should be discussing this over the phone. We'll talk about it when you get here.
But I was not so easily deterred. I've been doing some research. Bodies don't reach the skeletal stage until after at least 10 years in the ground.
For Christ's sake, Alex, this is not an appropriate conversation.
Her breath ruffled the line as she exhaled loudly.
I'm sorry,
she said, trying to regain her composure.
I've had a rough day.
In the background, I heard scuffling, a movement of furniture. I strained to listen, but it grew distant as Teresa walked away. Is that Emma? I said. Put her on the phone. I need to speak to her.
It's just the storm. I told you, she needs her rest, and I don't think she should be going anywhere tonight. You can sort things out when you get here.
I could sort things out now if you told me the truth. What's going on, Teresa? What are you not telling me? Who was buried in that grave? Because it wasn't Luke, was it? Funny how you insisted we keep digging down after I wanted to give up. Why was that?
This is family stuff. It's none of your concern.
Teresa snapped, before disconnecting the call. I thumped the steering wheel with my fist. What the hell was going on? I replayed our conversation in my head. Why did she ask if Jamie was with me? I patched a call through to Mum.
Son, is everything okay?
Mum said, answering the phone after 1 ring. I asked how Jamie was doing, making her climb the stairs to his bedroom to ensure he was safe. But Mum plagued me for answers, her voice brittle with worry. I pulled a tissue from my pocket and paused to blow my nose. I'm not sure what's going on, Mum. All I know is that Emma needs me. She's with her sister, but something's not right.
Isn't there anyone you can call who can check on them? What about your local constabulary? We've got a lovely PCSO near us. They're so helpful. I'm sure if you give your local station a ring, they might send someone out. When Mrs. Connor wasn't answering the door, we gave them a call, and...
I exhaled a terse breath. I'd heard the story about Mrs. Connor and her fall 1,000 times before. No, there's no need for police. I'm just checking that Jamie's okay.
Well, call me when you get there. It doesn't matter what time it is. I'm sure I won't sleep until you do.
I ended the call, inching up the speed dial as I pressed my foot on the accelerator.
Chapter 75, Emma, 2017. My eyes fluttered open as I awoke from my nap. It had been Teresa's idea, an hour's sleep to ease my nerves before working out my next steps. She had calmed my anxiety to get to Leeds, telling me to allow the dust to settle before galloping up there and upsetting everyone. But a black cloud loomed on the horizon. A succession of silent phone calls told me that Luke was close to hand. I hadn't expected to get any sleep, but when I woke, a whole hour had passed, and the house was cloaked in darkness. "Tizzy," I said, shuffling blindly in the hall. I had reverted to her childhood nickname, seeking comfort, as fear crept up my spine. I flicked the light switch, with no response. She must have blown the fuse box, I told myself, trying to quell my rising panic. It was situated in the living room, and I groped the walls as I made my way there. I listened intently to the usual creaks and groans of the house under the oncoming winds, my heartbeat feeling as if it had doubled its pace. "Tizzy?" I said a second time, and her lack of response made me want to bolt for the door. But I could not leave my sister. As I entered the living room, the figure before me rooted me to the spot. "Teresa?" I said, my heart stalling as I caught sight of her. Tied to a chair, she sat in the center of the room. I recognized one of my scarves, which was now wrapped around her mouth. I followed her line of vision too late as I turned to look behind the door. A sudden searing pain took hold as a blunt object hit me from the side. My legs weakening, I gave in to the darkness, and the last thing I remembered was a strong hand clumping around my throat, a pair of cold, blue eyes piercing my soul. The next thing I knew, I was squinting as the lights flicked on, the click of the trip on the fuse box returning me to consciousness. I caught sight of Teresa sitting across from me, her eyes wide with fear. "Teresa," I moaned, my head throbbing as white, starry flashes speared my sight. I blinked, trying to focus my vision as footsteps broke the silence, coming in from the other room. I swallowed back a whimper. I had not imagined the face in the window. After all these years, Luke was still alive. He loomed over me, dressed in black, laughing in response to my terrified expression. It was a thin, brittle sound, his humor failing to reach his eyes. "Oh, come on, little puppy. You must have known this wouldn't end well." I swallowed, my throat tight, as I realized my hands and feet were bound, just like my sister's. I still held the memory of the pressure of his thumbs on my windpipe as he had clamped down hard and squeezed. All that time, I had craved his touch, and yet it had ended like this. Luke circled me like a shark as he explained the motive behind his presence. "It's time for you to face up to what you've done." "What do you want?" I said, knowing that screaming was pointless. Out here in the windswept landscape, there was nobody to hear. "What do I want? You tried to kill me. You must have known I'd come back one day. I planned it well, don't you think?" he said, his eyes flashing under the light of the bulb hanging overhead. "The flowers, silent phone calls, slipping in after hours to slash that wedding dress. It was you who let Jamie out of the car, I said, the fear of that day rising up to greet me. Thank God Alex had taken him away. I can take credit for most of those things, but I wouldn't hurt a child. You can thank your own stupidity for that one. As Luke's words filtered in, I remembered back to that day. It was raining. I was late. Had I pressed the wrong button on the car key and blamed it on him instead? I hadn't been looking. My fingers were wet. All at once, I knew that I had been the one to blame. Luke paced the room, taking pleasure from his captive audience. I have a lot of plans for my son. Only there's one problem with that, isn't there? Your husband's taken him away. I sucked in a breath, fighting against my bindings as I tried to break free. How did he know? I hadn't told anyone about what happened that day. Had he worked out the timings, come back for his child? The thought of Jamie brought my protective instinct to the forefront. I had to get away. I pushed my head back against the chair as I tried to wriggle free. I squirmed as Luke's face entered my field of vision, his breath tainted with alcohol and cigarettes. His proximity made me shrink back. I had to face up to the past, because even if I got away, what would I say? Nobody would believe me, certainly not my husband. That much I knew. He had made his feelings apparent the minute he walked out the door. Teresa, Luke said, tearing his gaze away from me as he turned to my sister. I was just having a little chat with Emma here. What's it they say? Beware the person who stabs you, then tells the whole world they're bleeding. He touched the back of his head, his gaze returning to me. If I only knew what a fucked up little girl you were when we met, I lost everything because of you. Teresa struggled against her bindings as she muffled a helpless cry. Let her go, I said, wincing from the pain of my sudden blow. Please, this has nothing to do with her. I'll take what's coming to me, but you've got to let my sister go. I don't have to do anything, Luke said, walking towards her and loosening the scarf around her face. So, what do you think, Teresa? He said, a bemused smile on his lips. She licked her lips, her eyes narrowed with determination. I think she's right, she said, clearing her throat. Do what you want with her. Just let me go. Chapter 76, Emma, 2017.
There's no reason we can't wipe the slate clean. I wriggled against my bindings. Please, Luke, just let me go.
My gaze fell to the container in Luke's hands. He exposed his teeth in a narrow smile. How did it feel, falling victim when nobody believed you? Because that's how it was with me. No matter how much I protested my innocence, I still had to leave my job. Your infatuation clung to me like a stinking boil. Placing the container on the floor, he began to unscrew the lid. Well, now it's time to give that boil a good lancing. The smell of petrol rose in the air, making fear chill the blood in my veins.
No, I said. Please, I don't deserve this.
I knew what was coming. Luke was recreating the fire I had lit in the past, only this time my father would not be there to save me. After listening to Teresa, he had replaced her gag. She had been frightened, that was all. Surely she had not meant what she said. Luke jabbed his finger to his chest as he leaned over me, expelling spittle with his words. Did you really think I'd just forgive and forget?
What do you want from me?
I shouted, trying to buy some time. I knew he wanted to make this look like I had struck the match. I imagined Luke, encompassed by hatred and disgust, plotting to teach me some elaborate lesson with far darker things in mind. An eye for an eye. Isn't that what the Bible says?
You used to go to church, didn't you? Did you stop because of me? Perhaps now is a good time to say your prayers. He picked up the container and began splashing its contents around the room. My eyes watered as the fumes filled the air. Wait, I begged for the second time. Please, Luke, let my sister go. Teresa worked the gag loose from her mouth as she rubbed her chin on her shoulder. Luke, listen to me, she said, her words suddenly commanding. I wish you'd approached me from the start, because I agree with you. She nodded in my direction. Everything that went wrong in my life is because of her. You'll be doing me a favor now she's signed over the business to me. Luke raised an eyebrow at this sudden act of betrayal. You're not serious, he said. But Teresa was not going to stop now. You said it yourself. She's poison. Why do you think I let you friend me on Facebook? She paused, delivering the parting shot sure to win him over. She's not fit to raise a kid, but I am. I stared, horrified, as Luke nodded in agreement. So you knew that was me? A ghost of a smile played on his lips. Yes, Teresa said. But first get rid of any evidence you were here. Alex is on his way back, but the tide should hold him for now. When he gets here, I'll say I went out to the shops, and when I returned, I was beaten back by the flames. It makes a lot more sense for her to be torched rather than both of us. Don't forget, I can help you get Jamie back. I don't even know if he's really mine. Not for sure, Luke said, which proved he had not really thought beyond this day. He is, Teresa said. Alex had a DNA test done. No! I screamed, unable to believe what I was hearing. This is murder! Teresa, how could you? But as he untied my sister, my words fell on deaf ears. I screamed and cried until I'd exhausted myself. It was like I wasn't there. Don't pour it on her directly, Teresa warned, as he sloshed the last of the accelerant around me. We have to keep it like it was before. Luke delivered a sickening smile. See? We're being kind. He pointed to the doors. I've sealed them up, so air won't get in. There's a wad of newspapers stuffed up the chimney, too. You'll pass out from lack of oxygen long before the fire gets you. Alex is coming, I choked a cough as the acrid fumes infiltrated my airways and reddened my eyes. They'll put you away for life! Clenching my fists, I fought against my bindings, feeling a small give in the rope. But it was not enough. This was not my dad's watered-down white spirit being spilled on the floor. As soon as Luke added a spark, I would go up in a ball of flames. That's the beauty of it, Luke said. Your long-suffering husband is going to turn up just in time to watch you burn. We had a drink together. Nice chap. Maybe we could become friends. I could let him see Jamie. Every now and again. He cocked his head to one side, regarding me like a crow about to pick at a worm. A row of white teeth glistening under the artificial light as he smiled. I did enjoy playing with you. Giving the room one last glance, he stood at the door. Goodbye, Emma. Enjoy your time in hell. Flicking back the lid of his lighter, he positioned his thumb over the wheel. I squeezed my eyes shut, hoping it would be quick.
Chapter 77 Alex 2017 I sneezed three times in quick succession, making my car wobble in the road. My vision was blurred by a pair of flashing headlights, as the oncoming driver's horn blared loudly in frustration. After breaking the speed limit, I was back in Essex, filled with a sense of dread. A beeping noise and a flash from the dashboard alerted me that I was nearly out of diesel. I groaned with frustration. All I wanted was to get Emma away from that house and the horrible memories that came with it. I would help get her better, nurse her back to health. I clicked down the indicator to pull into the next petrol station. Call it a sixth sense, I just knew something bad was about to happen. I checked my watch. The tide was still in. The island owned Emma now. After paying for my diesel, I headed back on the road. Soon I was parked at the wrong end of the tide, willing the waters to part. I patched through a call to her phone. No answer. I ground my teeth as I tried to reach her again. She answered almost immediately.
Alex, I'm driving. What's the matter?
I can't get through on Emma's phone. Why isn't she answering?
I told you, she's asleep. Look, I'm going back there now. Where are you?
At the other end of the causeway. Where are you?
On Mercy. I'll be back at the house in a minute.
She sighed.
Emma's not been herself today. I just nipped out to pick up some milk from the all-night shop.
I frowned, wishing she had not left Emma alone. Seeing as I'm stuck here, I said, imagining Teresa on the other side of the tide, you may as well tell me what's going on. Because you're hiding something, aren't you?
My divorce papers came through. That's all. Listen, I've got to go. I'll talk to you when you get...
I don't believe you, I said. I've confided everything in you. Isn't it time you did the same with me? Who did we dig up that night?
I've got to go,
Teresa said. Why? What's the hurry, Teresa? But the only response was a dead dial tone. I exhaled a long, deep sigh. She didn't deny that the body wasn't Luke. Judging by the state of the remains, they had to be at least 10 years old. And then, just like that, the answer crept into my mind. Teresa sobbing over the skull. How she had carefully and gently wrapped it before taking it with her. There was never any question of me disposing of the body, because it meant so much to her. Emma and Teresa's mother had not walked out on them. She had been murdered. Was that what this was all about? Teresa genuinely loved Jamie, and now we were taking him away. I couldn't believe that Teresa would want to hurt her family, but something strange was going on. I gripped the steering wheel as I stared at the ebb and flow of the tide. If I risked driving through it, I could be stuck there even longer. But Emma could be in serious trouble. I might already be too late.
Chapter 78, Emma, 2017. The phone call from my husband had only served to pause proceedings. From what I gathered, he was stuck on the other side of the tide. Luke had stood over Teresa as she lied, his hands tightly gripping the back of her neck. I had not imagined the fear in her eyes. Please, I whimpered, barely able to find the breath to form my words. I don't want to die. Teresa turned to Luke, stilling his motions. Wait, she said, and relief swept over me as she saw sense. But it was short-lived, as she took a piece of paper from the dresser drawer and scribbled. We should leave a suicide note in her bedroom, just like before. We don't want this coming back to us. But it'll burn in the fire, Luke said, his eyes narrowing as he looked from me to my sister. There's a tin box under her bed. If you put the letter in there, it'll preserve it from the flames. No, you can't do this. I fought for my life as I squirmed in the hard wooden chair. I couldn't believe my own sister could turn against me in this way. Jamie will be safe with me, she said, her words plunging me into despair. He deserves more than you can give him. I'm sorry, it's for the best. I screamed her name, but she didn't flinch, just reached out and handed Luke the notepaper. You've got to leave the second you light the fire. I'll call the fire service once it takes hold. There's an extinguisher in the kitchen, she said. I'll make it look like I've been trying to put it out. Luke nodded and left to place the note in my bedroom. On his return, he sneered in my direction, his enjoyment at my predicament plain to see. Come on, we're running out of time, Teresa said, disappearing briefly to the kitchen before returning with the extinguisher. Luke watched her warily, his expression revealing pleasurable surprise that my sister would betray me in this way.
Please, I cried, my throat raw from screaming. I'm sorry. Please let me go. I won't say a word. I coughed, the smell of petrol cutting my words short. Luke gave me one last ghoulish smile before standing at the door, still holding the lighter. He flicked the wheel, and it burst into life, the small flame signaling what was to come. Throwing the lighter to the floor, he turned his back on me as flames sprung to life in the room. I could not believe they had both left me here alone. Within seconds, the room was alight. My home was a matchbox, providing kindling for the fire. I prayed for Alex to reach me in time. Wouldn't someone see the flames? But by that time, it would surely be too late for me. My consciousness fought two battles, trying to understand my sister's betrayal while coming to terms with the fact that I was going to die. Tears streaked down my cheeks as flames licked the walls of the living room, spreading towards the furnishings until the circle was complete. I felt like an object up for sacrifice and lowered my head into my shoulder as I tried not to breathe in the acrid smoke. If I could just get away. My heart beat double time, the bindings tearing the skin on my wrists and ankles as I fought. But the fumes made my vision blur, and within seconds, the room began to spin. I closed my eyes as searing heat engulfed me, only to be tugged awake as something pulled at my wrists. My eyes snapped open, the sudden movement making me cough. It was Teresa. After releasing the contents of the fire extinguisher, she was undoing my ropes. Was she trying to make it look as if I had taken my own life? Surely anyone finding me would know my hands had been tied. I should have pretended I was unconscious, got away when her back was turned. But my lungs burned in my chest, forcing me to splutter as I heaved for air. He's gone, she said, frantically undoing the knots that bound me. Sorry, it was the only way I could think to get rid of him. The police wouldn't have got here on time. Stay with me, please. I can't lose you too. Overwhelming relief washed over me as I realized she had been pretending to play along. If she had screamed at Alex to call the police, then Luke would have killed her too. With the tide in, they would never have reached us in time. Tears glistened in the corners of her eyes as I struggled to speak. Come on, she growled, tugging at the bindings. Just get me out, I croaked, the crackle and hiss of the wooden floors almost deafening. The contents of our tiny fire extinguisher had only served to dampen the flames, not put them out. We'd have to move fast if we were to get out alive. Go, she said, picking up the fire extinguisher and turning it back on. But the tiny expulsion of foam was not enough to fight the fiery war from within. I watched, horrified, as pictures peeled and curled from the walls, as everything I knew became blackened and disintegrated. My legs like jelly, I pulled the neck of my sweatshirt over my mouth, masking the fumes as the furniture took hold. A slice of fear rose up as I saw Luke, his features contorted with anger, stumbling into the living room in front of us. Fucking bitches, he roared, shielding his head with his forearms as he ran through the flames to get to us. Disbelief scored my brain. He was unstoppable. Just when I thought I was safe, he was back. Drawing back his fist, he punched me hard in the stomach, making me drop to my knees in pain. The circle of flames was growing stronger now, burning my flesh, the fumes invading my lungs. I was wasting precious seconds. I needed to get outside, to claw back some air. Black circles spotted my vision. I was too weak to fight anymore.
Chapter 79. Alex, 2017. After waiting what felt like a lifetime, I put my car into gear. Water still flooded the road, but as long as I drove steadily, I was confident I could get through. I held my breath as the sea splashed against my windows, the reflection of the moon appearing in hazy zigzags before me. Having found purchase on the road and come out the other side, I put my foot down on the accelerator, aware that my drenched brakes could fail. But all I could think about was Emma and the need to get to her as quickly as I could. My heart sank in my chest. There was no sign of Teresa anywhere on the road. I raced through the traffic, aware of a blue flashing light in my rearview mirror. I didn't care if they came up behind me. I was not stopping until I got to my wife. Thoughts spread through my mind like wildfire, my brain trying to work things out. I pulled on the steering wheel as I negotiated a bend, sending stones flying from the ditch and rattling against the paintwork of my car. In the distance, the flashing lights were advancing as I sped down the twisty lane. That was good, wasn't it? But what if it were not me they were after? What if something had happened to Emma? As I turned the corner, my worst nightmare became reality. The sky was flamed with red, and the sight stole the breath from my lungs. It was only then that I realized it was not the police gaining in the distance, but a fire engine, on its way to our home. But where was Emma? "Please, God, don't be inside," I whispered, my words laced with dread. Pulling up my handbrake, I skidded onto our drive. Flames leaped from the top of the building, the heat beating me back. I focused my gaze on a man running in through the open front door. Was that Luke? What was he doing here? Stumbling over my own feet, I ran to the house, but the whole of the entrance was engulfed in flames. "Emma!" I called, praying for a sight of her, but whoever had run inside was making no sign of coming back out. I scrambled around to the side of the house, trying to find a way in, but the searing heat beat me back every time. My heart hammered against my ribcage. I could not lose her, not now. I was getting her out, even if it killed me.
Chapter 80, Emma, 2017. Sweat slicked my skin, the heat of the flames making it hot and blistered. Fingers pressed into my flesh and shook my shoulder hard. Slowly, my eyelids fluttered open, and I realized I had passed out on the floor. I recoiled as I saw Luke beside me, blood pooling beneath his head. A horrible sense of déjà vu encompassed me, and the scene took on a surreal tone. "Get up!" Teresa coughed, grabbing the fire extinguisher and turning it back on. The butt of the metal was streaked with blood. With one hand, she wrenched me from the ground. "Out the back! I'll keep you covered!" I stumbled through the smoke and flames towards the back door, my legs like rubber bands. Light bulbs popped and fizzed overhead, sprinkling us in glass. In the hall, the smoke alarm beeped beneath the full roar of the hungry fire. Hissing and spitting, it consumed all in its path, and soon we would be next. Plunged in darkness, I had only the flames to light my way. My lungs felt like they were caving in on me as I heaved for breath. I fought to stay conscious as my world closed in. I presumed Teresa was behind me until I heard Luke call her name. He was still going, still after us, still alive. I was in the kitchen now, and the scene took on a dreamlike quality as I turned around to find her. But my legs buckled beneath me as darkness closed in once more. Looking up into the face of my husband, I wondered if I was dreaming. A flashing blue light illuminated the night as he hovered over me. The cool night air touched my blistered skin, and I realized I was outside. For a second time, I tried to call out Teresa's name. "Thank God you're okay," he said, answering my question. My lungs were burning as I drew in air, feeling as if I was breathing in hot coals. I grimaced as I tried to swallow, barely able to raise my head from the ground. "Shh, stay where you are. The ambulance is on its way." I blinked through the pain of crusted eyes as I watched my house go up in flames. The roof had caved in, and I knew whoever was still in there would not be coming out alive. Chapter 81, Emma, 12 months later. The playground seems different today, and I'm glad Alex managed to persuade me to visit Mersey again. I watch as Jamie reacquaints himself with the equipment, his face alight with pride as he negotiates the slide he was too scared to climb before. I hold my husband's hand as we stand, side by side, watching him. I can't believe we made it, after all we've both been through. Alex has felt the change in me too. The couple who were going to buy our house in Mersey went ahead and bought the land. It felt strange to see new foundations on the site where our old place used to be. Given what had happened, it was probably for the best. Too many bad things had happened there. Malevolence had seeped into the very framework, causing misery and misfortune to its dwellers. The deaths within would be enough to put most people off, but luckily our buyers were willing to put aside such reservations. Our new home in Leeds is so bright and airy in comparison. I wake up bathed in sunlight, which sets me up for the day ahead. Josh has made such a success of managing the Colchester branch of Something Borrowed that he's had to take on extra staff. I've learned how to work the online side of things and am content with that for now. It frees up more time with Jamie, and I love chatting with the other mums when I pick him up at the school gates. It feels good to envelop him in the warm hugs I was deprived of as a child. Alex's family have embraced me into the fold, none the wiser of Jamie's true parentage. Call it magical thinking, but Alex and I have come to an agreement. We are Jamie's parents. The DNA test results have been destroyed. I didn't deliberately set out to deceive my husband, because deep down I always saw Jamie as his. I'm still coming to terms with Teresa's death, but have finally managed to free myself from the shackles of guilt and remorse that kept me bound. She's buried beside Mum in Colchester, and I'm visiting their graves later today. Josh has been so kind, placing flowers in my absence. There's only one dark cloud on the horizon. In the quiet times, he creeps into my thoughts. Sometimes I think I catch a glimpse of him, a man sitting in a passing bus, a hooded figure in the distance. Other times, I feel his eyes on the back of my neck. I know he's dead, but I half expect him to return. I think of the day I almost killed him, how he taunted me about all those girls. I take comfort in the knowledge that he cannot prey on such innocence again. At least everything is out in the open now. I told the police the truth, and after months of investigation, Mum has finally been put to rest. Releasing my hand, Alex hoists Jamie onto the swing.
"Higher, Daddy, higher!"
he giggles, and this time I am happy to let him fly. I'm not going to waste another second of my life fretting. I sit in the swing beside him, push it back as I stand on my tiptoes, and launch myself into the air. We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of Silent Victim by Caroline Mitchell, performed by Elizabeth Nolden and Steve West. Performance copyright 2017 by Brilliance Publishing, Inc., all rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance audio titles, please call the following toll-free number, 1-800-222-3225, or visit our website at www.brilliancedaudio.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.